Let's open our time together with a word of prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, as we've come into this place this morning to worship you, we pray that our worship has been pleasing, has been honoring, has been glorifying your name. Lord God, as we come to this point where we open up your word, your holy word, the guide for our lives, may we be challenged and changed by what it is that we read this morning. May your Holy Spirit just move amongst us, speak to us, and may we not be able to just ignore those promptings that you lay on our lives. But may we respond to those promptings. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. So if you were with us last week, we started the service by, I asked the youth for a volunteer, and after a game of rock, paper, scissors, Mason ended up being the loser, I guess, and having to come up and be our volunteer for us. If you remember, what we did was Mason started out with an empty bucket, and then people kept bringing rocks up and placing them into the bucket, and Mason's job was to hold the bucket out like this as people placed the rocks on in the bucket. The rocks all have things written on them, things that you guys submitted to me. So I put something out on social media, and you guys submitted things that cause worry or anxiety or stress in life, so things like finances and money or school grades or lots of stuff with children and grandchildren, our care, our hopes for our children and grandchildren. They cause us these worries and stresses. What do we got? We got politics. There were actually lots on politics, between politics and the election that's coming up. Difficult conversations we got to have. Like, there's over 20 things that were listed. And poor Mason, I went back on the video because some people weren't giving him enough credit. They said he only did it for 10 minutes. Mason held this thing for 12 minutes and 18 seconds. So that's... And what we saw from the demonstration is we can only hold on to our own worries and anxieties so long before they're going to overcome us. So we got to figure out how we offload those. We got to figure out how somebody walks with us. And we talked a little bit, just real briefly, about the possibility of somebody helping him. So I went up and I helped with the weight of the bin for a couple minutes. But then I said, well, I'm going to have my own problems. So when my own problems come flying at me, I'm probably going to let go of his and refocus on mine. So we really focused then on how we navigate with knowing Jesus and knowing that Jesus can walk with us through those problems. And that's kind of where we left last week. This week, we are going to kind of pick up from there. And last week was very much so about how we can deal with our own problems. But I think we can also go a step further than that, and we can also help other people with their anxieties, with their worries, with their concerns, with their storms of life that they face. And I think it's biblical that we do that. And the word that we're really going to look at this morning is the word encourage, or encourager. We are called to be encouragers. Like that is part of what we are supposed to be as followers of Christ, is we are to be encouragers. And it can really be pretty easy for us sometimes, I think, to encourage people that we love, to encourage people that we respect. But how are we at doing this thing called encouragement to people that we find hard to love? Right? Because those people are created and loved by Jesus, the same as you or I. So how are we at encouraging somebody that's hurt us in the past? How are we doing at encouraging somebody that just has a way of pushing your buttons, right? We all have that person in our life. How are you at encouraging somebody that is constantly, needy, it feels like, and it just frustrates you? How are you at encouraging somebody that has different views over Scripture, over God's Word than you? How are you at encouraging somebody that has different political views and ideas than you? How are you at encouraging these people that maybe it's a little bit more challenging and difficult for us to be with? Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's another student at school. Maybe it's a neighbor or somebody that is part of an organization that you're involved with. At the end of the day, what we have to realize is we are called to encourage others. And that includes people that are easy to encourage, and it includes people that might be really challenging and difficult for us to encourage. I love this story, and it dates back to 1956. But I think it's just a great example for us and really hits home to what we're talking about today. On June 18th, 1956, a freak accident happened on a lake in New York. A speeding motorboat bounced on a wave and shot into the air two of its passengers, a 50-year-old man and a little girl. To keep her from drowning, the man held her head above the water while the boat circled back for them. They were able to rescue the girl, but tragically the man sank and drowned. That's how Dawson Trotman died. Dawson Trotman was the founder of Navigators, which some of you might be aware of, is an international discipleship ministry. The tragic incident took place at a Word of Life Ministries camp where Dawson was the speaker for the week. According to a quote in Time magazine, he lived to save others. His death was just the way he would have planned it himself. At his funeral service, Billy Graham spoke. And Billy Graham said this. He said, "Doss died the same way he lived, holding others up." Like, what a legacy, right? To be known as somebody who always is lifting others up, who is always encouraging other people. I think in life, we all need encouragement. When we receive encouragement, when we're on the benefiting side of encouragement, we feel that somebody cares about us. And that can energize us. It can motivate us. That can help us through like the toughest times in life. And we can all do that. There's not a person sitting in here that can't be an encourager. This morning we're going to look at the idea of being an encourager to others. And my prayer is that through this message and this time in God's Word, that God will inspire us to become greater encouragers tomorrow than we are today. And I know that in this worship center, that there are some of you that you are like phenomenal at encouraging people. I see it. I've heard stories of it. I've been the recipient of it. And then there's probably some that maybe that is a harder thing for you to do as well. So wherever you are on that spectrum, if like encouragement is something you just don't do because it seems weird, or if it's something you do all the time, like the goal of today is that we go from wherever we are on that spectrum to the next step. That we can take our encouragement beyond where it is today. So I want us to start this morning by looking at one of just the great encouragers that's found in Scripture. I'm going to have you turn to the book of Acts, chapter 4, and we're going to pick up at verse 36. If you're using one of the church Bibles, which will be underneath one of the chairs in front of you, page 923. So Acts, chapter 4, we're going to pick up at verse 36. This is the first time we hear of this man that we're going to talk about this morning. The church was young. It had really just gotten started in Jerusalem, and all the church was in one accord according to the Scriptures. The apostles were preaching and teaching every day, and more people were coming to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and they believed that it was the long-awaited Messiah that was in their presence, or that was going to be in their presence. They were excited, and they were on fire for God as they gathered together. The scripture says that they were selling their property so that everybody in the church would be provided for. There's one man, though, who is singled out for his generosity and for his encouragement of others. And that's the man that I want us to look at this morning, starting in verse 36. It says, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. So his name is Joseph, but we don't know him by that name. This is the last time that his proper name is used in Scripture. His nickname, Barnabas, is used from this point forward. The apostles gave him that nickname. And as many of you know, back in biblical times, in Jesus' day, like, names had great significance. Barnabas meant son of encouragement or encourager. Barnabas' character was an encourager, as an encourager was so well known that they actually changed his name. His nickname perfectly represented who he was. And as you look through the New Testament, you will find that everywhere that Barnabas went, Barnabas was an encourager. It's what he did. It was driven into his DNA. Like, if you just bump forward a few chapters in the book of Acts to chapter 11, verse 22, it says this: news of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. In this passage of Acts chapter 11, verse 22 and through 24, the church was expanding and starting to really reach people. And when the church in Jerusalem heard about this, they decided that they were going to send an encourager. So they sent Barnabas, the encourager. They wanted to have the successes pointed out and for the people to be encouraged to continue in what they were doing. Everywhere that Barnabas is present, you will find encouragement going on. Even when the great apostle Paul was angry with John Mark and didn't want to do ministry with him anymore, Barnabas chose to stay and encourage John Mark. We see this account, again, just about four chapters from where you are, in Acts chapter 15. If we pick up at verse 36, it says this: sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with him. But Paul did not think it was wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. Paul didn't want John Mark with them because he saw a quitter. He saw somebody that stranded them, abandoned them. One who wouldn't follow through on his commitments. Barnabas saw a young man who needed encouragement. Obviously, it worked out. This young man that is referred to in this story as John, also known as Mark, is the writer of the Gospel of Mark. So this took place, this division took place around 50 to 52 AD, and the Gospel of Mark was written somewhere around 64 AD, according to most scholars. Something happened in those 12 to 14 years to bring John Mark from a young man that wasn't committed to one that wrote boldly about the life and the purpose of Jesus Christ. I don't know all that happened, but I do believe that Barnabas had something to do with it by not abandoning him, but rather encouraging him and spending time with him. As we look at Barnabas and his life, we should all desire to have like that nickname Barnabas. I encourage you this morning to try to become a Barnabas, to become an encourager. When we encourage each other, we walk beside others, which means we share in their life by way of supporting and strengthening each other. We do what we can to strengthen instead of to tear down other people. I just want to take a few minutes this morning and look at how we can become encouragers, kind of the practical piece of what we're talking about this morning. Because again, I think Barnabas does a great job of giving us this example. I think there's really two ways that I want to share or highlight this morning that we see in Barnabas's life. To encourage, and this is kind of the first piece of application, we must realize that encouragement must be spoken. Like, we need to communicate it. We need to make sure that if we're trying to encourage somebody, that they know that we're trying to encourage them. Because we could sit here and look at each other for the next 10 minutes and think really encouraging things about each other. But it's not going to have any impact on either of our lives. Because I don't know what you're thinking about me, and you don't know what I'm thinking about you. Right? So it's so obvious in one sense, but I think it's a good reminder for us that we need to actually speak the words of encouragement that we have for people. We need to communicate with people in order to encourage them. We need to learn to speak words that will uplift people. Acts chapter 13, verse 15, in the New Living Translation, says it this way: after the usual readings from the books of Moses and the prophets, those in charge of the service sent them this message: brothers, if you have any word of encouragement for the people, come and give it. So here's the setting that we're talking about. Paul and Barnabas had just arrived in Antioch and had gone to the synagogue on the Sabbath for worship. So they're in a worship service. And what would take place in their worship services was typically some reading from the part of what we now call the Old Testament. And then after that, they would have people that would stand and speak. It's interesting that they looked at Barnabas and Paul and said, brothers, if you have any words of encouragement, come and give it. They were looking for words of encouragement because there's power in encouragement. There's motivation through encouragement. We all look for those words of encouragement in our lives, and we hold on to them and we treasure them. Like, I'm certain, I hope that you have felt words of encouragement at some point in your life. Words that build you up, words that help you in times of despair and trouble and worry, words that motivate and encourage us to push forward through uncertain times, words that will help us stay the course when times get really tough in our lives. Those are the words that we value so much. And here's kind of A little bit of a side note, but I like to talk on this from time to time because I think it's so important. Today, in our culture today, right, there is a different reality than what was present in Jesus' day. In our day today, we have this thing called social network and media and technology that's just crazy. Right? And many people are part of different social media sites, from X to Facebook to Instagram and others. It's just the way that so often we communicate today. It's just right there in front of us. And our feeds get filled with other people's thoughts and opinions and words, criticisms. And I think it's important that the example of Barnabas that we see the need to speak words of encouragement, but Scripture also gives us warnings about the danger of our tongues. I think there's over 26 different ones that relate to our tongues that are warnings about how dangerous our tongues can be. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, like, we're told, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, and that benefit those who listen. Like, we're supposed to be careful what we say, not just verbally, but what we type into our phones. Let me encourage you to think carefully what you speak through writing on any medium. God's word has not changed concerning the need to guard our tongues. It's just the means that we communicate that has changed. And technology, as a form of communication, should be used to encourage and to build people up, not to tear people down and discourage them. Like, I have seen and I've heard stories of so much harm that's been done in people's lives, in their spiritual journeys, because of stuff that they have seen other believers post on social media. And we're going to have to own that one day. Anything that you say, written or spoken, concerning somebody else or some other group of people, you are saying concerning somebody that God created and that God loves dearly. We best be careful. I think that while speaking with our voice audibly, it's kind of limited as to who hears us, right? Like, I can speak in here today and it doesn't leave these walls. But using a medium of social media, our words can reach far and they can be found forever in technology land. Encouragement must be our priority. Encouragement must be what we speak. We need to learn to fill our mouths and our technology pages with words of comfort, words that inspire, words that uplift people, words that encourage people to grow in their faith in Jesus Christ. Not only do we encourage with our words, though, that's the first example we see from Barnabas. But we also, number two, in regards to the application, we encourage through our actions as well. And I'm sure that we've all heard the saying, actions speak louder than words, right? Like, that's a familiar saying to us. Well, that's true in, I think, many cases. I think in the context of scriptural encouragement, they kind of go hand in hand together. It's not that one speaks louder than the other. It's that they should be meshed together. Our words and our actions should be together. They should be one almost. We encourage people with our actions as well as our words. So again, let's look at the example of Barnabas to see encouragement in action. If you go back to chapter 9, in chapter 9, starting at verse 26, and just reading verse 26 and 27, and I'm actually going to be reading from the New Living Translation. It says this: when Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to meet with the believers, but they were all afraid of him. They did not believe he had truly become a believer. Then Barnabas brought him to the apostles and told them how Saul had seen the Lord on the way to Damascus and how the Lord had spoken to Saul. He also told them that Saul had preached boldly in the name of Jesus in Damascus. So Paul was still going by the name Saul at this time. He had been saved on the road to Damascus and had answered God's call to preach and teach to others about Jesus. The trouble was that what was he best known for? He was best known for persecuting the Christians up until this time. He wasn't a follower of Jesus till this time. So the Christians in Jerusalem, they were afraid of him because of his reputation. They thought maybe he was trying to trick them. And Barnabas took Paul to the apostles and stood up for him. He told them of Paul's conversion and how he personally had heard Paul preach the gospel of Jesus. Like, think what might have happened had Barnabas not taken Paul by the hand and encouraged him to go see the apostles. It would have been easy for Paul in that situation to just become discouraged and just kind of write off the whole journey, right? Like, these people don't accept me. They don't want me. Maybe I just don't belong here. But Barnabas, through his actions, he encouraged and strengthened Paul in his faith and in his reputation as well. Barnabas' actions matched his words, didn't they? He didn't just tell stories of them. He went and walked with them and took them. Because of Barnabas' encouragement, eventually Paul would become like one of the most incredible evangelists ever. Like, he was used by God to change the lives of thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Hear me on this. Like, our actions need to match our words if we're truly going to encourage people. People need somebody to stand up for them sometimes. Sometimes people just need somebody to wrap their arms around them, hold them. No words necessary, just the action of comforting and encouraging. Sometimes people just need you to give them your time and to listen. People often need actions that show that you care and love them beyond just the words. Words of encouragement can be so comforting. Actions of encouragement speak loudly too, and we can't forget that. This morning, I challenge you, wherever you are on that spectrum, if you're a great encourager, or encouragement is low on the spectrum for you, I challenge you to be intentionally a Barnabas. Like, take a step further. I challenge you today to be an encourager, to lift each other up, to lift up somebody else, to encourage your friends and your neighbors, to offer encouragement to somebody that you just met, to be an encourager to people you find difficult to be around. Be an encourager to people you love the most. Be an encourager to people you hardly know. Be an encourager. When you choose to do this, you're being a vessel of God. You are literally breathing life into people. You never know how God might use your encouragement to even bring people into a relationship with him. As followers of Jesus, as a local church body, like, let's intentionally make a positive difference in the lives of others through our words and through our actions. It's something that costs us so little, but can be so powerful in the life of others. That's our challenge. Be a Barnabas as we leave here this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to make a difference in the community that we live in and in the lives of those that we come in contact with through this really, in a sense, simple act of encouragement. Lord God, we thank you for the example of Barnabas and how we can see that he was an encourager through his words and through his actions. Help us to replicate that in our own lives. Help us as we leave here not to put it on the back shelf, but to say, how can I today encourage somebody? And then, Lord God, I pray that you would lead us to people that need encouragement and that we would be sensitive to that. That you would allow us to breathe life into others through this word, encouragement. Pray this in your name. Amen.